We're going to continue our look at last night's results with two bona fide former White House political directors. Doug Sosnick worked in the Clinton White House, and Sarah Taylor worked in the Bush White House. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Can't resist asking you the same question I asked Karl Rove. Who's the real comeback kid or comeback mature person, Doug Sosnick?
Well, I think, obviously, Hillary Clinton had a great night last night, and she not only came back, but she won, as opposed to her husband, who came back and finished second in 1992. So she really had a really good night, and also John McCain did as well.
Okay, so Sarah Taylor, so it's a tie for the comeback kid title?
Well, you know, I would differ slightly. I think that this was a huge night for John McCain, and I think that Hillary Clinton, because almost no one expected her to win this primary going into it, really overshadowed his story. But if you think back to last summer, when basically his campaign took the month of August off, I had countless people in our party worked for him and left the campaign. And both not only at the staff level, but people forget how many people in Iowa and other states deserted his campaign. And the fact that he won last night is a pretty remarkable comeback story.
What about the independent vote? I mean, how do you think the independent vote played itself out? You think there was a split between McCain and Obama that hurt itself in the end, or do you think the independents were all on the McCain side?
Well, certainly people were projecting about 4-1 to Obama going into the election. It looks like it was closer to split. That probably did hurt him in the final analysis and helped Mrs. Clinton win the campaign. But it was an interesting and fascinating night last night.
Doug, I want to ask about women and young people. It seems that as in Iowa, the youngest voters, 18 to 29, came out for Obama, as they did in Iowa. But women were strong for Clinton in New Hampshire, unlike in Iowa, where Obama actually got the women's vote. What do you make of it?
Well, it's true. Hillary Clinton did much better last night amongst women in Iowa. She also did much better amongst independents than she did in Iowa as well. And she carried the voters from 40 and older last night, as opposed to Iowa, where she only carried the voters from 55 and older. And I think she did cut down fairly significantly, though, in New Hampshire on the young voters against Obama. He still did well there, but not as well as he had done in Iowa.
What do you make about her? Is it women came home for Clinton, or do you think that she made more direct appeal for them? What do you think?
Well, I think she was more effective in communicating in general, and I think it certainly applied to women. Also, just going back to what Sarah said a minute ago, I do think John McCain had a really significant night last night, and I do think he's probably pretty likely to be the Republican nominee based on his performance last night and based on the fact that the alternatives in the field are so flawed in the minds of most Republican voters that I think while a year ago they might have been shocked to the party establishment to embrace McCain, I think he's looking better and better to them now.
You agree with that, Sarah?
I think that he's in a strong position. I think it's a little early to make that case just yet. I think we need to get through Michigan. And if he does very well in Michigan, we'll probably be in a two-man race. You would expect Mike Huckabee to do well in South Carolina. And then as you head into February 5th, Florida on February 5th, it gets a lot more difficult, I think, for him to compete.
I tell you one thing I'm puzzled by, Sarah. Among those Republicans who disapproved of the war in Iraq, a big margin for McCain, even though he supported the surge, he's been very critical of those favoring a pullout. What do you make of that? I mean, a big margin among those of the disapprovers in the Republican Party over Mitt Romney. What do you make of that?
Well, I think a big part of, look, Iraq's a very tough issue, and people have weighed in lots of ways and expressed an interest in pulling troops back. But the one thing that I think most Americans agree on Iraq is they want a leader who knows what his strategy for Iraq is and for the Middle East. And John McCain has done an excellent job and has been very consistent. And whether you agree with him or not, you do want a good outcome in Iraq, no matter who you are. And you do want someone who has, conviction on the issue. And so I think that while maybe they disagree with his course, they respect the fact that he is strong on the issue and knows where he wants to lead.
We're going to have more with our political heavyweights, two former White House political directors, Sarah Taylor and Doug Sosnick, in just a moment. On the Democratic side, Doug, what does former Senator John Edwards do now?
Well, I think his intention is to stay in the race as long as possible and hope to become the alternative to either Senator Clinton or Senator Obama. I think he probably has a little bit of money left, but not a lot. I don't see necessarily any state that's particularly favorable for him to break through. And my guess is that as the old saying goes, campaigns don't end, they just run out of money. I think he'll stay in as long as he can, and when he has no more money, he'll have to get out.
What about Bill Richardson? He says he's staying in. Is it realistic that he'll really do better out west?
Well, he could do well in Nevada, and that might be his last holdout stop, being the governor from nearby New Mexico. But it's hard to see how he breaks through at this point, given his lack of resources and how poorly he's failed up to now. Although he's run a very good campaign, he just hasn't been able to get in the same league with the top-tier candidates.
And Sarah, to you, how disappointing do you think the Iowa and New Hampshire results have been for Governor Mitt Romney?
Well, he put a lot of effort into those early states. And so while I'm sure he's disappointed with the outcome, he did run a very good campaign. He ran a very methodical campaign, I thought. And at the end, it wasn't necessarily that he lost, it's that he got beat. And so he'll have resources to continue in Michigan, and that's a state that he could do very well in.
Why do you think?
Well, his father was the governor there. The Romney family has been a prominent family in Michigan for a very long time. And people will connect with him there because they will have known him and known him in a more intimate way than other voters. That said, I don't think you can argue with McCain's momentum. He has momentum coming out of New Hampshire.
He also has some good endorsements in Michigan, too.
He does, and he did very well there in 2000, a state he won. And so it'll be an interesting race there. But I think that Romney does need to score a win here fairly soon, and his team is smart, and they know that.
Go ahead, Doug.
Romney, I think, really is an example, though, of what you don't do in modern politics to get ahead. I mean, he is an impressive guy, but he appears to be so inauthentic in his positions and flip-flops that it's really in this day and age, I think it's completely what people are not looking for in an elected official. And if you look at some of the speeches on election night in Iowa from Huckabee and Barack Obama, who were completely different on the spectrum, in many ways, they're saying many of the same kinds of things. And for people in New Hampshire to be trying to decide at the end as an independent between McCain and Obama, it shows you that having a core and a conviction and being authentic is far more important than trying to position yourself right on issues. And I think Romney is the type of politician that may have done well in the past, but is exactly what people are not looking for in this day and age.
You buy that, Sarah?
Well, I think that he has evolved as a candidate and as a leader, and I think that in the environment that we're in, that has presented some challenges for him.
What about Mayor Giuliani's Florida strategy? The idea of it's not that he bypassed. He all but bypassed Iowa. He did spend some time in New Hampshire, but then kind of pulled up stakes and said, let me cut my losses here and sort of go straight to Florida. Does that make sense? Does that work?
Well, I think it probably makes sense for him. The risk in that strategy is, of course, your fate is now up to other people. Because if somebody runs away in the next few states with this and goes into Florida, the clear front runner, and he's really not going to be in a position to catch that person. Now, the alternative is if Governor Romney were to eke out a win in Michigan and you were to have, three candidates having won three states and truly, a jump ball, so to speak, he could all of a sudden become attractive. But I think that becomes pretty unlikely at this point.
Mm-hmm. That's not really a strategy. That's what you call reality. I mean, he didn't get Iowa. He didn't get New Hampshire because he knew he couldn't win. Mm-hmm. And that's not your preference. And then, as Sarah says, you are no longer in control of your own destiny.
Is there still a rationale for his candidacy?
Well, so far, I think the strongest rationale that Republicans have had in the primary up to now has been they're better than the alternatives. That's really been the best selling point. And the candidates who've done the best are the ones that haven't entered yet and appear to be the white knight that are going to come in to save the day. Once they get in, they all become as flawed as the next guy. And that's why I think the Republican establishment is going to back into supporting McCain, largely because the other candidates are all so flawed that they can't possibly support them because they know they can't win in November.
But Sam, why is the Republican establishment having such a hard time settling on somebody? I mean, each of these people have their people. I mean, they all have long records. They've
sure.
all been around. They've all done things that people like, people don't like. But it just seems that the excitement is all on the Democratic side? People like their candidates. It seems like people on the Republican side, it's just are tolerating their candidates.
Well, I think, look, we've had a very strong field of candidates with men who have had some very impressive accomplishments. So I would disagree. I would take issue, I guess, with what Doug said to a degree. But look, it's not unusual.
I'm sorry, but if you're getting record turnout on the Democratic side and in the Republican side, people are showing up, but not with these sort of gangbuster numbers, not with this sense of this is just great, I really need to be here.
Republican turnout in Iowa and New Hampshire was as high or as it's ever been. Democrat turnout has been higher, not much higher in New Hampshire than it was over the Republicans. So I think this is early. Look, Barack Obama has no doubt generated a lot of excitement in their party. And the question is, you know, when he gets under the microscope and people really look underneath the veil, is he a candidate who's prepared to lead the country? And that hasn't been answered. And Hillary Clinton, while an impressive person, certainly has a significant number of flaws, which is why you've seen, even in their own primary, the fact that they've taken a second look.
Well, I would say a couple of things. First of all, the excitement is certainly on the Democratic side. Iowa, which is a state that went for George Bush in 2004, you had twice the Democratic turnout as you had Republicans. And last night in New Hampshire, 60,000 more Democrats voted in the primary than the Republicans. And the answer to your question, I think, about the Republicans not being excited about their field is that the Republican Party has been taken over by the social movement conservatives. And they're very uncomfortable with all the candidates except for Huckabee. And Huckabee is the one candidate who's probably most unelectable. And the last thing I'll say is that amongst, I think, President Bush's legacies, one of them is going to be that he will probably, more than anybody else, do more to spur voter participation and turnout in this country in the election. You've already seen it in the first two states. People understand now that who is president of this country has an impact in their life, and you're going to see an enormous turnout in November. And what you saw in 2006, which I think you'll see in 2008 in the general, and you've seen it in the primary, is that independents are overwhelmingly supporting Democrats. 59% of independents in 2006 voted for Democrats. And in these two state early states, majority of independent voters have voted for Democrats.
I have to give Sarah the last word because I let you have the last word last night. But, Doug, I have to ask you, is it true that you're going to take a role in the Clinton campaign? Is that right? That was the rumor last night.
I am going to take an informal role as a strategic advisor.
What is an informal role? She'll take your calls.
It means that I'm not going to go in the office every day and work full time.
You won't put a tie on. Okay. Sarah Taylor, I got to give you a last word.
He
wouldn't do that anyway. Last word to you, Sarah Taylor. And point of clarification, Sarah's right. The turnout in the Iowa caucus on the Republican side was 20% higher than it was in the previous. Okay. But last word quickly, if you would.
Yeah. So I think that, look, this is general elections are different than primaries. And as we head into November, I think you're going to see a lot of excitement on both sides of the aisle. And I would expect, as we saw in 2000 and 2004, very, very competitive races.
Sarah Taylor, Doug Sasnick, two top political strategists and former White House political directors here with me in the studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
And now, more on the youth vote from some young voters and up-and-coming analysts. This election, young people have been getting the full attention from the media, pollsters, pundits, candidates. Many campaigns have been using online and other strategies to reach younger voters. To talk about this, we're joined in our studio by Helen Hocknell. She's a senior English and journalism student at the University of New Hampshire. She's editor of the school's newspaper, The New Hampshire. And also joining us from ETV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina, is Dante Mosey. He's a senior English major and editor of the South Carolina State University paper, The Daily Gamecock. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
Helen, the primary in New Hampshire just ended. What's the sense you're getting from people your age? Excited?
Well, everyone's still excited, but a lot of us are quite shocked. I mean, I've sort of given up predicting this stuff now, but everyone had Obama pegged as the winner.
Really? Why?
Yeah. He's just generated such excitement. From everyone I've talked to up there, I kind of wish I could be there to see it. He's just got this electric presence in a way that Hillary, you know, as much as she's certainly got a lot of support, he's just got that charisma with a lot of the younger voters.
What about on the Republican side? I hear Ron Paul is getting some traction.
As a matter of fact, we had a mock primary back in early December, and he got it was Giuliani was the winner, who course, has sort of disappeared since. Juliana got 29%, McCain had 20, and then Ron Paul had 19. So he definitely is pretty popular among the college-age crowd.
Dante, what about you? South Carolina is going to be a big target later this month. What's the buzz at your school so far?
Right now, I think people are excited, especially by Barack Obama and the fact that he could very well be, the next black president. They're excited by the fact that, someone is actually about to, is in a position to become the next the black president of the United States or
first black president.
Yes, first black president. Yes, and the momentum that the campaign has been giving, at least at South Carolina State University, is absolutely amazing. The charisma that he uses on the students through Students for Barack Obama is giving students support, giving them a chance to really voice their concerns to someone who actually will listen to them and listen to them, concerns that matter to them and the black community. So,
what about Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton, I think, as far as black students, I know with Hillary Clinton, a lot of students, there are some students who still support him because of Bill Clinton, because he was obviously popular back in the 1990s and the early 2000s. But I think the momentum has really shifted to Barack Obama. When they see the fact that they can, see this strong African-American that is in a very good position to possibly become the leader of the free world, and they're struck by the fact and they're attracted to that fact. So I think really the attractiveness of that has really shifted support.
Any gender gap issues? We've been talking about this, about the fact that African-American women might be torn between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, because Hillary Clinton has made such a strong show. I mean, she's really worked that vote and a serious outreach. I mean, with the Greek organizations, I mean, she's been a strong presence with the sororities and in the beauty shops and so forth. Do you notice any gender gap developing among the students? Women going one way, men going the other way?
I don't see any gender gaps. I think it's all mostly for Barack Obama and also Michelle Obama. When she came to our campus, she made some trips to the beauty shops and to places where you normally see black African Americans. So I don't see a gender gap as far as that's concerned. I think it's more or less general support for Obama more so than Hillary at this point.
Helen, we've been talking so much, we hear so much about this, the ways that candidates are reaching out to your generation. What are some of the ways that they're reaching out, and does anything particularly make a difference?
Well, I mean, I could tell you, for the last couple weeks of school, you could hardly move across campus without having somebody come up to you and ask, "Oh, have you registered to vote? Have you thought about supporting so and so?" There's Facebook groups about it now and everything. People, you can't go into the dining hall without somebody approaching you about it. So they've definitely been coming out in droves to try and get us registered and get us for one guy or another.
Are these people your age?
A bit of a mix. Some are young. There's certainly a lot of UNH students that I know that are working for one campaign or another right now. Some of them I talked to yesterday. They're all very excited. Some of them are just adults that are, actual adults as opposed to wannabe adults. it's a mix. But they're absolutely camped out in our student union. They were all over Main Street, handing out flyers and that kind of thing. They were all over campus.
A lot of that is old school sort of reach out. What about the newer techniques? I mean, people think like the conventional wisdom is among at least, long in the tooth people like me, is that stuff like The Daily Show makes a difference. Making an appearance on such a John Stewart show, I mean, John McCain's been on it something like 10 times. Does that matter? Or is that just a stereotype that people like me have?
Oh, I'd say it does. I mean, it's cool to be on The Daily Show. It's, that kind of thing. And people definitely pay attention to that. And actually, Facebook, I've been sort of surprised. I mean, it's hard to judge because, people like Ron Paul, most of their base are, they're all over the internet, but I'm always getting invited to a Facebook group for one thing or another, for some political event. All the different politicians came so many times to our campus this fall. It was sort of ridiculous. Oh, so and so's here. Oh, big deal. Yeah, we saw somebody yesterday.
But snore. Well, send them my way if you're bored with them. Send them on down my way.
Yeah.
Dante, Barack Obama's done some things. He's been in Essence magazine. He's been in Vibe. He was, I think, on the cover of Vibe. He was on Ellen's show, he actually busted a move. Is politics cool again?
I think so. I think politicians are really starting to embrace, going onto these talk shows like The Daily Show or, you know, going on Facebook. Like, for example, Ron Paul, a lot of his support is actually on YouTube. You have Barack Obama, millions of users on Facebook, or, you know, with his campaign. So I really think that that politics is really becoming cool again. It's really becoming attractive. It's really becoming a thing to watch, at least for younger voters.
What about you, Helen? Is politics cool again? Do you just, is it, other than the kind of the nerd girls and boys who are interested in it?
Yes, us political nerds. No, it's absolutely a cool thing again. I mean, there's always going to be that sort of apathetic contingent that'll just be too cool to care. But no, it's, I mean, you can't help but get involved when, you know, these people are coming to your campus. I mean, if they're speaking in your student union and you're, you know, walking through, you can't miss them. And so it's sort of hard not to get involved or hard not to care. Especially in New Hampshire, we have such a unique opportunity there.
Just very briefly, Helen, is there an issue that you could point to that you think really engages your peers? Is there something when they think about voting, if they think about whether they want to get involved in, is there something that comes top of the mind?
Well, I mean, healthcare is certainly still a big issue, but it would definitely be anything environmental is absolutely at the forefront of our minds at UNH in particular, just because we have such a strong sustainability program and all this other stuff that we do at UNH to try and be, you know, lower our carbon footprint and all that. And that was actually one thing that I heard a lot of buzz about right after the Republican debate in September. It was the first day of classes. You know, that's what I heard a lot of buzz about, is that they wanted the Republicans to care more about that.
Okay. Dante, one or two word answer. Is there an issue that comes top of the mind with the students that you talk to on your campus?
Paying for college. I really think that that's a main concern among students right now.
All right. Thanks so much. Dante Mosey's editor of the Daily Gamecock at South Carolina State University. And Helen Hocknail is editor of the University of New Hampshire's newspaper, The New Hampshire. Thank you both so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Coming up, a conversation with Harvard Law professor Randall Kennedy on a word he thinks is overused.
I can't think of a prominent black American who, in my view, should be termed a sellout.
Randy Kennedy on his new book, Sellout, coming up next. I'm Michelle Martin. You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News.